Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday edition of A Numbers Game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Worry not, Gil will be back in on Monday. Thank you for being here and allowing me in this seat for the last 5 days. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Great show. We're going to talk some soccer. Well, actually, Paul Carr's going to talk some soccer. I'm going to ask some questions. I took a few notes. And that's basically how we're going to go with that. And
then there you go.
Yeah, and then we'll talk some horse racing with Chris Felica. And if we have some time after that, get his college football thoughts as well. And we will run through each and every NFL game, give you our thoughts on bets we have in the account, some leans we might have, any games that we absolutely hate along the way.
That's right, absolutely. I'm also enjoying the idea of you taking the vast majority of the segment up with Chris to talk Breeders' Cup. I'm pretty certain we're going to get more college football in than Matt just teased.
Listen, look,
like I don't know if we'll have enough time. I've got so many Breeders' Cup questions.
Look, we talked to Samet yesterday for at least three quarters of a segment about.
I mean, these dudes are passionate. That's true.
If he's betting multiple races, then it's kind of like he's got to talk about multiple horses per race. We don't know how long this could go.
That's a good point. Mike went a little bit longer yesterday.
Yeah, because there were three different races, and then you're talking about multiple horses throughout those three different races.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying there are a lot of people out there who are excited about the Breeders' Cup this week, and we're going to give them. This was asked for by the people.
That's true. Was asked for by the people. We got it booked. We even got a VSiN betting guide out for the Breeders' Cup. So go check that out now, right now.
Head on over to VSiN.com and get that Breeders' Guide betting, Breeders' Cup betting guide. Yeah. That obviously I've read already, because you can tell right there that I've read it already. I mean, Kelly, we're coming off of a game last night. Coming here, we're, if anything, we're but honest and transparent. I get the underhome, lose on the Texans, and I gotta admit, coming out of this one, I don't really feel bad about the bet all that much. I guess the only thing that I do feel bad about in coming out of this one is I guess I didn't really, and I was texting you during the game, I guess I really didn't factor in what seems to be a little bit of the sophomore slump and regression for CJ Stroud as much as maybe I should have, but it was very apparent last night. Sure, the offensive line was letting these guys through, but it was the decision-making when he was getting pressured and the things he was doing when he was getting pressured that was really concerning to me, and it was on five different occasions, he just started running backwards, which is a horrible thing to do, which led to a longer field goal that ends up getting missed on one of those third downs in which, again, he gets pressured. And instead of just, okay, you know what, nothing's going to happen on this play or trying to step up and see anything, he starts running backwards and ends up losing another 8, 9, 10, 11 yards here and there along the way. And then also, you know, I guess for me, that I really came across. Yeah, I get it, guys. I understand. He was under duress, sacked 8 times, all those things. There were throws to be made in this game, and CJ Stroud did not make those throws.
Oh, he missed them. Yeah, the throws that this is where, yes, I know we want to talk about a sophomore slump. He's still young. He's still going to develop. But, man, I hold him in such high regard already that, like, those are throws that I've seen him make. I saw him make all last year in route to a great Rookie of the Year campaign. I think what you're talking about, it's a mix of offensive line and him seeming to not be able to handle the pressure all that well. And it's, I mean, even the number of carries, 8 carries last night, that's more than he's ever had in his NFL career. Just check that real quick. That is 2 more than he's ever had in his NFL career. So even, you know, with these quarterbacks, they start feeling that pressure as it adds up throughout the game. It's okay, now I'm seeing a guy break through. I got to, you know, get off this one read and just take off. And that was what a little bit more was happening last night too. But yeah, you're right. We haven't factored in that well. And I don't know what to make of this team, you know, when we look ahead, when they're supposed to get a lot more healthy.
I mean, a couple of missed field goals as well. Then you also have the and again, this is not just a pile on CJ Stroud show. What I will say, 11 of 30, 191 yards, misses Mechie wide open, would have moonwalked into the end zone. Just a bunch of misses from CJ Stroud that ended up making a difference in this game. Now, sure, were they fortunate that you get – what is up with these – we see this at least two or three times a year. Why do people not want to carry the ball across the goal line? What is it with it? Like you see Malachi Corley, you've seen it by now, but like Malachi Corley gets to the goal line, ends up dropping it before he crosses the goal line. The ball just slowly rolls out the back of the end zone. It ends up being a touchback. We see this two or three times a year, and every single time I'm going, most times people cannot wait to celebrate. They want to over-celebrate. Yeah. They've got something already planned. They've been, literally before the game starts, they're going, if I score, I'm going to do this.
But that's the problem. He's already thinking about that, right? He's thinking about that before he's fully into the end zone. That's why it happens.
I mean, we see this multiple times a year.
And it's wild.
And every single time we go, dude, you just hold on to the ball for one more step. Is that like a flex or something that you just drop it the second you cross the goal line? Is that like, is that kind of what that is?
I think it maybe kind of used to be actually, and that's how some of this started. But like, to your point, it's crazy because I've gotten so used to it now. We see it so often. I don't know about you. My mind immediately went to, I was like, okay, they're going to go review this. I'm pretty sure he dropped the ball early. Like, okay, let me get the replay. But I'm pretty sure in real time, he dropped it early, was not across the goal line. But do we have a camera angle of where the ball went, right? And then it was very impressive that they did to me. I was like, that camera guy down on the other end zone had it tightened up enough that he actually got it rolling out the back.
And it did. I mean, it took like a full 5 minutes for the ball to roll out the back.
It was just slowly
going and going, and then finally makes it out the back. And we can't go without saying what happened last night with Garrett Wilson was a huge, massive, massive turning point in this game. And when I say what happened, not only the catch, but we also get the phantom, in my opinion, and according to the broadcasters as well and several of the people online, you get the phantom illegal contact called on Stingley, which that was a 4th-and-1. It would have been a turnover on downs. The Texans would have gotten the ball back with the lead at 13-10. So it was just a massive, massive difference in this game. And I should say at 10-7. And it was a massive difference in this game. And so they replay it multiple different times. You can have your hands on the player for 5 yards. And it was about 4 yards when Stingley had his hands all over him. And then after that, it seemed pretty clean after that. Instead, they get an automatic first down and then turn what would have been a turnover on downs into one of the better catches basically we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, real quick, I don't know if I'm going there yet. Like, I feel like we're doing a lot of that this morning. Like, this is the best catch I've ever. It was really good. I've seen better.
I said one of the best.
One of the better. That part was huge. I think just going back to the first half real quick, too, it felt like going into halftime even, that the Texans had not done enough to kind of put this game away when the Jets, all they had done in the first half was shoot themselves in the foot over and over again, right? We talked about Corley dropping the ball early before scoring, but nothing else was working either. And that rest of that half, the Jets were a disaster, got new life in the second half because of this stuff, and go on and win that ball game.
Yeah, nobody cares about in-game bets, but I think it is important to kind of bring up, since we are talking about how you go about betting and trying to be a better bettor, Kelly, is just so – I threw some quick money in, quick on the trigger on the Jets when it looked like, I guess he was just hamming it up, but it looked like a serious injury for Stroud, right? He steps up in the pocket, something like it looked, again, in real time, it looked like something happened to his ankle, foot, back of the heel, whatever it was or something. And then he's laying face down on the turf for like a while, right? And not getting up. And then, you're sitting there and you get Kirk Herbstreit, you're like, oh no, Stroud down, ball on, so like that. I'm breaking my fingers to try to get it because like the way they were playing anyway, I was like, okay, this game is over. Jets are winning this game for sure. You know, and then he ends up coming back in,
Those are tough because I think I was in the same mode in this. You're right. Maybe this is good to talk about from a betting standpoint. Not all of these are created equal, right? They're not all the same. For me, that was one of those, okay, like I had the app pulled up. That's probably something you should always do, right? At least pull up the apps. You don't need to make a bet, but pull up the apps, make sure you're ready to go. I was waiting. I was like, okay, let me give it a minute. Let me see how he walks off the field, right? And how he reacts. Once he kind of had gotten up and gotten off the field, I put the phone down. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. So I had the teaser. You had it. You were catching two. So was okay with it. But yeah, I hear you.
I was terrified mainly because I didn't like the bet anyway. Once the way that the game was playing out and how poorly he was playing. And then I'm like, oh, they're going to Davis Mills. Well, this game is definitely going to be over. Let's go to the Jets side of things real quick. I mean, look, they moved to 3-6. Aaron Rodgers does score, you know, multiple touchdowns in the second half. It looks a little bit better. The offense looks a little bit better. He hits Davante Adams on what was basically the dagger touchdown there at the end of the game. Everyone's on to see, you know, again, Kirk Herbstreit, that's what we're talking about. That's the timing. That's these guys and whatever. Did you take anything away from the Jets here in this one?
Yes and no. I mean, this is okay.
They were not handed the game, I will say this, but like there were fortunate events.
I just don't know if it's kind of the split of, oh boy, the Jets look a whole lot better, or like during portions of that second half, at least you could say, oh, the Jets look a whole lot better, right? Or you could just say this is how they're supposed to look with these star players that they brought in. I mean, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson having big games should not be a surprise. This is what should happen. Mm-hmm. Now, can they do that consistently? Because they haven't done it yet. If they can turn this into a consistent factor where these wide receivers are actually having this big of games, it opens things up for Breece Hall on the ground. Yeah, this could turn into a different offense. I need to see more of it before I start believing in this team again.
So Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 32 times. 22 of those times went to either Adams or Wilson in this game. And like, that's probably the best strategy, though. You know, I mean, I get it. Lazard wasn't even in there. Lazard was inactive, but it's probably the best strategy. Like, just throw it to your two dudes who are awesome and just make them make plays.
Yeah, they're great. What's going to happen with Mike Williams? Like, what is this story?
They're going to ship him out of town.
I would think so, too, but like, I can't believe it hasn't happened already.
Yeah, they're going to ship him out of town. He didn't play a ton of snaps last night either. I think they were making sure that he didn't get injured in this one so that they did have a piece to move, but at the end of the day,
I don't get that, though. Just don't play him then. Right? If you're going to move him, don't play him. You don't want him to get hurt.
Well, it's a little bit of a showcase, you know, as they say. Then you got to play him. All of that, yeah. At the end of the day, the Jets cover all numbers. The under gets home in this one. And, of course, overs on Adams, Wilson, Tank Dell, everything like that. When we come back, hit some news items, look at the NBA, and then we'll get into our Larceny Bourbon play of the week.
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt in for Gil. A couple of NFL news and notes we want to hit on and make sure that these don't pass by, because this is stuff we're going to be monitoring heavily throughout the course of today. Mainly Lamar Jackson's health, Kelly, because Wednesday was a DNP for Lamar Jackson. And the thing about that was, you know, Harbaugh takes to the podium and says, you know, it was just a rest day. But then on the designation, they put back and knee.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, that's interesting, because, you know, back and knee, even though you didn't have to do back and knee, you could have just put rest day, because they do that all the time. And then he goes out on Thursday and DNP's on Thursday as well. So now we are wondering not only what's going to happen today as far as a practice, you know, designation for Lamar Jackson, but is it a real possibility that could he actually not play in this game?
Well, he's got to rest his back from carrying this whole team. Oh,
you're
right.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
No, I'm with you. Yesterday was a bit shocking. I had the Ravens tied in a teaser into a teaser on the opening lines and came out like 8.5 on Sunday. It is. Yesterday was concerning, though, because the Wednesday day off. This is where Lamar and the NFL injury reporting has gotten pretty annoying when they get combined together, because the Lamar Jackson day off on Wednesday has become so regular at this point. Yeah. That I didn't bat an eye. Like, I didn't, when I saw he missed practice on Wednesday, didn't care at all. But then yesterday, when you see it come across, it's like, all right, you know,
and it wasn't
turn
even
on
a limited
sirens.
It was like that's the thing. It's like a limited. So limited practice, just if you don't know how these injury designations work, like in theory, if the guy's like working off to the side,
right.
It could still be, he could still be listed as limited. So a DNP means do one out there. Yeah. Like that's what DNP means. So it's interesting, and we'll see how this all plays out today. But what it did do is the 9.5s that were out there all got gobbled up, including by this guy sitting on the desk right here. And so we'll see down to 8 at a lot of the places out there, which actually does put this back in teaser territory if you want to go that route with this game. But yeah, this is we will monitor this, of course. If anything comes through over the course of the show, we will be sure and let you know. One other pretty big note here, Puka Nacua knee injury. They say they don't believe it to be serious, but it is the same knee that kept him out and put him on IR. And Kelly, here was my, this is why I was so blown away that he played last week, because they got the 10 day, they got the mini bye this week. And so I thought for sure, oh, okay, he's eligible to come back, but you get the 10 day between the two games. You just hold him out and he comes back this week, right? And I don't know if this means that the Rams brought him back too soon. I don't know if this means that it was just a freak thing that happened in practice. Again, not believed to be serious, but it is, was confirmed that it is the same knee that kept him out.
Yeah, this is, it's a tough conversation because man, he looked good in that game last week too. Yeah. So like, I think even that already kind of, like it's hard for me to say they rushed him back when he looked that good last week. Like I think there has to be some kind of medical clearance, right? If like he's there, certain percentage of re-injury or whatever that he's good to go. So I'm not as like that part. I'm not freaking out about as much. But you're, I mean, the fact that he leaves, I don't care what they say after practice about it not being that serious. The same knee that he missed all that time with, I think it's a major concern for them this week.
Another couple of injury reports we'll be watching today. Just what's going to happen with DK Metcalf? What's going to happen with T. Higgins? Both of those guys, DNPs the first 2 days of the week so far as well. And of course, we know Seattle looks different without DK Metcalf. Oh, yeah. And certainly we saw with Cincinnati the same deal, right? Like these two offenses are not meant to function properly without those key cogs. Yep. And so we really need to see here on a Friday what happens with both of those guys.
Best guess for Dr. Brown on Rams Seahawks. Do we see Puka play? Do we see Metcalf play? Do we see neither play?
I think you probably see DK Metcalf try and play. But I don't know if we see Nacua.
I'm going to go with neither, but okay.
Yeah, because this thing with Puka Nacua, if you're the Rams and you're, you know, if you got to be bought in on him long term. I mean, he's your future, right? I mean, Cooper Kupp's now on that other side of 30, which as we talk about all the time, like that's when receivers start to hit the decline. So you've got to be bought in on Puka Nacua long term. And if this is the same knee, you can't mess around with
that.
You just can't do that. Jordan Love was, and we'll talk about this heavily when we talk about that game. Jordan Love was back at practice in a limited fashion. A couple of beat writers were like, I mean, he was out there. Wasn't doing much.
I'm glad you broke it down. It is, you need to know what limited participant means in the NFL, and it is a wide-ranging number of possibilities.
Yeah, a couple of the beat writers were like, I mean, he's out here, and I saw him throw it a few times, but...
I mean, like, when I go to the gym later today, I could be a limited participant for Raiders practice, possibly.
There you go. You be a Kelly was a limited participant at the... See, yesterday, you were coming down with a migraine. Had you decided to go to the gym, you probably would have been a limited participant.
There you go. You know, exactly.
You walk in the gym, you're like, I'm going to do three curls, and I'm leaving. You
know, exactly. That's all I'd have to do. Limited participant.
I'm going
to
do three curls, and then I'm heading out here. You know what time it is?
What time is it, Matt?
It is time for our smooth bet of the week, presented by Larceny Weeded Bourbon. Lock in a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. So you and I ended up on the Cleveland Browns in different fashion, but, you know, same sentiment here. I played them straight up and on the money line, and then you've got them here in a teaser. It is now currently 1.5 in favor of the Chargers on the road. 42.5 is the prevailing total that is out there. If you look at this Cleveland team, obviously it's kind of one of those things where I have to take all of this data and all the stuff that I compile each and every week, take it, print it out, go out back, light it on fire, and there's absolutely nothing. Because what we saw from Deshaun Watson was some of the worst quarterback play that we have seen in the NFL in a very, very, very long time. Since he went over to the Browns, guys, they have looked, and they have every single quarterback with at least 75 dropbacks. There was only one or two quarterbacks, and we're talking backups, Kelly, that were worse than Deshaun Watson on an EPA per play basis. And so you had the absolute worst play at the quarterback position that you could have. We see Jameis Winston get inserted, and we see this team look like they have a little bit of life. And so with that, I see that this is a team. I understand there are biases coming into my play. So I'm self-aware enough to understand that there are biases coming in to this, because I'm lower on the Chargers. Like, I do not like the way this Chargers team operates, and I do not like what they are. I don't like what they have at the skill position. I don't think that that is a team that is built to, it should they ever find themselves in any sort of deficit of double digits or whatever, I would never, ever think that they were going to come back. Or I would love my position on the Browns with all of that. And I do understand there's a couple of guys nicked up on the Browns defense, but can Herbert with DJ Chark and Quentin Johnston and Ladd McCall, you know, I don't know if he can take advantage of.
Which we will kind of want to laugh at those names right now, but it's actually big. They're getting a couple of those guys back. Yeah. I mean, it was basically just Ladd McConkey last week. So that was, it's big. They are going to get a couple of these receivers back. Health-wise, this game I don't think has gone in our favor throughout the week, right? It does look like some of these Browns guys are a little bit more questionable, especially on the defensive side. Chargers do get some of these receivers back, get a little bit healthier. But, man, I'm with you. I think it's been really interesting listening to some of the experts and guys that I trust talk the NFL and talk this Chargers team, because I feel like some of the bettors that I talk to and respect, Matt, have this defense rated out higher than most places do when I go to look at stats and everything. And I don't know it's not a bad defense, but I just don't know with what they have combined on the offensive side of the ball, like you're talking about, it's enough to really get me super high on this team. And when we talk about going into a hostile place like Cleveland to play a game against a Browns team that now has a fan base all fired up over a quarterback change and a win off Baltimore last week, I think it's a challenging atmosphere to go into, also in the early window of the day. But yeah, this is all going to come down to just how Jameis Winston plays.
So I'm glad that you circled this back around to where I was going with this. It's like, I think the Browns won the game if Jameis Winston doesn't play one of the vintage Jameis Winston game. When I say vintage, you guys know what I'm talking about. One of the vintage Jameis Winston games. If he turns in one of those, sure, they can lose this game to the Chargers. If Jameis Winston looks anything remotely close to what he looks like last week, they're going to win this game.
I agree. If they're, I'm trying to think. If he's under two turnovers, probably a win. If he's over, probably a loss. If it's right on two, I don't know. It's probably up in the air.
So let's look at what this Chargers team has accomplished so far this season. And I understand wins are wins in the NFL and they're hard to come by. But Kelly, the Raiders, the Panthers, the Broncos, and the Saints are their wins, right?
Yes.
The Saints, again, obviously against Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. And their losses, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Arizona. So the three teams with a pulse, they've lost to. Everyone else without a pulse, they've beaten. So what do we really know about this team as it is? Anyway, if you look at their advanced offensive statistics, it doesn't show anything either. They're in their bottom half in everything. You know, their bottom half in everything. So for me, let's go ahead. Let's roll with Jameis going ahead and playing some vintage Jameis, the good vintage Jameis, not the bad vintage.
Yeah, I like it. I will tell you, I'm getting a little tired. In the Chargers' credit, I'm getting a little tired of trying to bet against him every week. So hopefully we get home with Cleveland and turn this thing around.
In order to have a nightcap, you need to have a night first. Make good on some bets, then pour some smoothness in your glass with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Whether you're making a paper plane out of your parlay ticket or celebrating big payout with a classic Kentucky Mule, Larceny has the flavor you need and craft cocktails so tasty they'll have you toasting victory like a high roller. You're in charge. Lock up the call. Find a bottle at yourlarcenybourbon.com and seize tonight. The numbers game brought to you by Larceny Bourbon. Think wisely. Drink wisely.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt in for Gil here on a numbers game on a Friday. Going to talk a ton of the NFL version of football
here. That's right.
A little bit later. But we're going to talk some football
right now.
Do you see what I did?
Yeah, I did.
Some football?
It's football and football Fridays.
Is football South America and then they just call it football in England and like overseas?
I believe so.
Is that where we're going?
In Espanol, yes.
If there was only someone that could tell us.
If only.
Where it's football, it's going to be this guy right here. He is Paul Carr, True Media Sports, Expected Value Podcast at Paul Carr over there on the Twitter machine. Football, South America, football, England?
More or less, yeah. Football, English language around the world in a lot of places. Football, pretty much anywhere Spanish. I think in Brazil and in Portuguese, it's futebol. It's spelled with a T, but it's more of a CH sound, if I recall correctly.
See, we're bringing the knowledge.
We learned something.
We're bringing the knowledge. I learned some things as well, because I'll have you know, Paul Carr, I went in and I did some research for this segment.
Oh, baby.
Just so you know. I know. So let's kick things off here with a bet that you do have in your account. Nottingham Forest against West Ham. By the way, if you guys were wondering, Nottingham Forest has won two in a row. They're looking to win their third straight Premier game for the first time since 1999, Kelly Biblin. Yes, that is exactly. These two teams played in February. Forest won. But the real thing that I learned in this one, Paul, before you get into your breakdown of this game. So Nottingham Forest, they're the Tricky Trees.
That's right.
Is that the best nickname? Is that the best nickname of all the? Because I was searching around, I'm like, Tricky Tree sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, it probably is the best one in the Premier League right now.
I think I'm going to get me a Tricky Trees T-shirt, and I think I've just adopted a new team based strictly off of their nickname. All right, Paul, what do you like hearing this one?
Yeah, so you said they won two in a row. They're in seventh place, and it's not fluky. The underlying numbers, expected goal difference and such, they're in eighth or ninth place, kind of depending on where you look. They've allowed the second fewest goals in nine games, only seven goals allowed so far. And they give up bad shots, and I mean that in a good way for defenses. They give up the worst shots in the league, so they're not giving up a lot of great opportunities. We rode them last week, got a plus 140 win against Leicester City, so I'm going back to that. Well, they're at home against West Ham, which is a mid-table team, similar to Forest, but I think a little bit worse. I like Forest to win this one at plus 115. There are a couple asterisks of a couple guys who are a little injury question marks for Forest, but I don't think it's a huge difference. They won't have James Ward-Prowse because he's actually on loan from West Ham, but West Ham's missing one of their better strikers in Mohamed Kudus as well. And I think it's a good spot to get a decent plus money price on Forest at home, with West Ham coming off a win over Manchester United last week. Better team, playing at home, getting plus money. So I'll take Forest on the win here.
I like it, and they're my new favorite team, and so I think I will be joining in this one.
All right, Tricky Trees, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, this is it, Tricky Trees. I mean, how good is that, the Tricky Trees?
That's the one. Is that the one today, Paul? Or are we tomorrow on that one?
These are all Saturday.
All Saturday.
Okay. All Saturday. All right.
So there, you can wake up early before you start watching college football. That's why I love it.
Now that I have a team, the Tricky Trees.
That's right.
Liverpool and Brighton, you're looking at a total here in this one. Brighton dealing with a lot of injuries, though it looks like maybe a couple of them could be back. Did the injury situation play into your thought here?
A little bit. I like under 3.5 at minus 130. Liverpool's been an under machine this year in the Premier League. Only one of their nine games have had 4+ goals. And I've said this a couple times on the show, but they're not the high flying Jurgen Klopp team now that they have a new manager in Arne Slot. A little bit more restrained, kind of try to control the game a little bit more. All their possession numbers are down. And I mean that, like, how many times do they get the ball essentially? So they're just slowing things down relative to last season. Only 15th in the league in total goals in their game, 17th in total expected goals, 19th in shots, etc. So then the bottom quarter of the league in those volume type of stats. And Brighton's defense is not bad either. They're bottom five in shots allowed as well. And you mentioned injuries. They have Lewis Dunk, one of their key center backs. He's expected to be back for them. So I just see this being another kind of Liverpool type of game for this season. Is it 2-1? Probably something in that vein, 2-0, something around there. But under 3.5, we're still getting not too far off even money at minus 130. I like that here.
Paul, not one that's an official play for you, but a big game nonetheless. Just to assure people would love your thoughts on Man U and Chelsea.
Yeah, this is the marquee game of the weekend. Manchester United, after that loss to West Ham last week, fired their manager. They hired a new manager, Ruben Amorim from Portugal, but he won't start for a couple of weeks. So Ruud van Nistelrooy is an interim manager, former Manchester United star and such. So he'll be running the show for this game. This is kind of a stay away from me. I mean, you hear talk about a new manager bounce or something like that, which is generally not as true as people seem to think it is. But it's just a stay away. Manchester United's been kind of a mess for a couple of years, and I don't expect them to right the ship suddenly. But I'm not looking to fade them either, just because weird things happen with new managers. So this should be an interesting game just to see, is anything going to change? Is this just Man United kind of holding steady for a couple weeks and trying to get to that new manager? We're not really sure. So it's a stay away from me, but from a betting standpoint, but one I'll be watching because it should be an interesting one at least.
Talking some Premier League with Paul Carr. Find him at True Media Sports Expected Value Podcast as well. Bournemouth and Manchester City. Manchester City at the top of the standings right now, just ahead of Liverpool. Bournemouth down at 11th currently in this one. Man City undefeated in Premier League play, but did lose on Wednesday in the EFL Cup. What are you looking to hear in this one?
Yeah, Man City's in first place, like you said, and the metrics more or less line up with that. They're one of the best or couple best teams along with Liverpool so far this season, but they haven't been as convincing. I mean, their numbers are not where they have been the last couple of years, few years when they've won the Premier League title. The big difference is that Rodri is out for the season. He's their kind of a defensive midfielder that holds it together. He just won the Ballon d'Or as the best player in the world this week, but he's not there. And all their numbers over the past couple of years when he is not on the field are significantly worse offensively and defensively, because he covers a lot of ground defensively, and he also adds something to the attack to make that last killer pass to free up Erling Haaland or a teammate for the goals and shots and things like that. So they haven't been as dominant as we've seen them in the past few years. Bournemouth, you mentioned they're in 11th place. They're a little bit better in their underlying numbers, and they played well at home. They beat Arsenal at home, helped out by a red card, only lost 1-0 against Chelsea, probably deserved at least a draw. They drew against Newcastle. So they play these better teams pretty well at home, and City hasn't been all that good on the road against Chelsea or Newcastle or Wolves. And Bournemouth's been better than Wolves this year, better than Newcastle this year, frankly. So all that to say, I like Bournemouth on the double chance. So that's Bournemouth win or draw at plus 140 against Manchester City. Some books you play at plus half a goal, same bet, but plus 140, the price I got on Bournemouth double chance.
Yeah, double chance or plus the half a goal, like Paul said, that's what you'll see a lot of places, especially here in the States. Paul, just wanted to ask you kind of early season, biggest takeaways, teams that have kind of impressed you the most that you weren't expecting, and maybe some ones that have let you down.
Yeah, I think Arsenal's been a little disappointing. I mean, they're in third place, but you kind of hope they would take a next step somewhat stylistically, but just haven't been as attacking, don't seem to have the offensive ideas that you look for them to have as they progressed under manager Mikel Arteta the last few years. Now, there's an asterisk of, I think they've had three red cards that have kind of messed up some of their games, and you know, you obviously can't attack the same way, but they've been a little bit disappointing. Liverpool's been better than I thought. They were pretty clear third favorite coming into the season, but you know, now if I had to play someone to win the title today, I'd probably play them at plus 250, not saying I'd rush out to do it, but that's the price I would look at. They've just been better than expected faster under new manager Arne Slot. The style seems to have clearly changed a little bit, and everyone's been mostly healthy, which is part of it as well. So at the top of the table, those are kind of the things that have caught my eye so far.
Paul, let's make the quick switch here to American football, and the Miami Dolphins head on the road to the Buffalo Bills. It's only November the 1st, so not going to be that treacherous weather up there in Buffalo. They currently sit as about 6-point dogs on the road to Buffalo, with a total sitting about 49 as well. What are your thoughts here on this one?
Yeah, I mean, Tua's came back last week for my Dolphins, so that's obviously a good thing. And the offense looked more like we expect the Dolphins offense to look, which is good. Still, I don't know. Maybe I've kind of almost punted on the season when Tua missed all those weeks, and you just don't expect them to be able to recover and reach 10-11 wins, something along those lines. So I guess I'm probably a little pessimistic, and maybe that's my Dolphins fandom coming through as well. But they have tended to play the Bills tough the last few years for whatever reason. You know, almost they were competitive without Tua in a playoff game. They've had a couple of pretty good games with Tua there, even though they haven't won them all. I mean, 6 is a lot of points for a Bills team that hasn't been super convincing, but if that's kind of the way I would lean, is the Dolphins and the number, if I were looking to place a bet on this one. But then my Dolphins pessimism comes back around, and I start banging my head against the table, and I wonder if I want to live with this bet when I'm going to watch this game on Sunday.
He is Paul Carr, True Media Sports Expected Value Podcast, at Paul Carr over there on the Twitter machine. Paul, appreciate the time and good luck.
You bet, Matt. Thanks, Kelly.
If you want to follow him, Kelly, on that bet, you could do so. If you live in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia, you can do so over there at the Sport Trade app. They allow you to get down big bets at Sport Trade as well. And they're going with the minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110 lines, which, as every single bettor out there knows, 6 cents can be pretty big somewhere along the way. Also, really, really quick acceptance of your in-game bets as well. Download the Sports Trade app. Use VSIN, V-S-I-N, to earn 10% cash back on each wager you make in the first week. Now, terms do apply on this. You got to be 20 years or older and 1-800-GAMBLER if you do have a gambling problem. Sport Trade, promo code VSIN.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Friday, ready to talk some NFL, maybe get some bets into the account. Got a few that I'm feeling good about. Yesterday we sat here, though, we earlier in the week we ranked our teams. Yesterday everyone on the face of the planet ranked their candies.
Yep.
you came in.
It was a big
hit with some fairly strong takes. Look, because I like you.
Oh, what a guy.
Look what I've done.
Wow, did you really have those hidden over there for
look what I've done. Since you said you like all things Reese's.
The pumpkins are delicious. So pumpkins are great.
So this is
straight up Reese's pieces, ET style. These are real good.
All things Reese's. And then look at this thing.
Ooh, yeah. The Reese's White Ghost. Yeah, White Ghost edition. Yeah, all right. I'll have to try this one during the break.
See, look at that. So you got it. All things Reese's, you're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Peanut butter enrobed in white cream. Why doesn't it just say white chocolate? Why is it white cream?
Oh, does it have to be a certain percent? Is it kind of like the difference between whiskey and bourbon or something? Or
yeah,
does it have to be like a certain percentage something to be actually considered chocolate?
Enrobed is kind of a creepy adjective, too.
Well, I guess because it's a ghost, it's a robe.
Ah, he's wearing robes. I get it. Yeah. Good job, see? Reese's. You've done it again.
You're like, it was over my head, but you know, the joke was over my head. But yeah, it's fine. Like, I get what you were throwing down with all that. One thing I do want to mention before we get going here in the NFL, Kelly, we've got this Equinox special. We're going to go ahead and extend that until November the 3rd. So you have until Sunday, and what you're going to get is everything we do over at VSiN.com. For less than $20 a month. So VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get the best bets. You're going to get the video. You're going to get the video over there on the website. You're going to get every single guide that we do. Of course, we talked about a ton of those. Everything that helps you out being a better better. And of course, the picks page as well. So you can go in and keep up with everything that you hear here on the network from not only an expert standpoint, but from the guests as well. This is the Equinox special. We had that on Monday. We extended it to Sunday. November the 3rd is when this ends, all less than $20 a month. So go in, VSiN.com/subscribe. Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. This is currently sitting as a juiced 3 in favor of the Falcons. Your total sitting at 51.5. I understand why the total is as high as the total is, Kelly Bidlin, because you have a team in the Cowboys that looks like, yes, they might be getting a little bit of reinforcements on the defensive side, but still no Micah Parsons. We know Dexter Lawrence already gone for the season. So there's a lot here to kind of unpack when it comes to this Dallas defense. How much difference is an addition in the secondary here and there going to make when you're not really getting any pressure on the quarterback, right? Because you can be the best cover corner on the face of the planet, but if the quarterback has all day to throw, you can only cover for so long, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why I'm not really jumping up and down about the additions in the secondary for the Cowboys, because I don't know where the quarterback pressure is going to come from. And as long as Micah Parsons isn't on the field, I'm not really worried about it too much.
Yeah, this was one of the games that I had circled to jump on after openers came out on Sunday. Total opened, what was it, like 48.5, 49, something like that. Shot out immediately up to 52. Has come back a little bit. I have not bet it yet, Matt. I'm going to be waiting here to see how this total moves throughout the weekend, because I think you're right. I'd be shocked if we don't see a lot of points in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of the same from what we've seen out of the Falcons the last couple weeks, and it's working through the air. It's working on the ground right now for that team. Like you're talking about with the injuries that Dallas has, and honestly, as inconsistent as that defense has been anyways, I think major advantage Atlanta on that side of the ball, even if you want to just consider it an Atlanta team total over, I think that could be a good look as well if you're questioning what the Cowboys might be able to do. But, I don't think the Falcons defense is going to get put up all that much resistance to the Cowboys either. Yep. Thought this was a little intriguing this week. It took this long to finally hit 3, and now, like you said, it's mainly juiced 3s around that we're looking like on Atlanta. That doesn't surprise me at all. Got me interested in that Atlanta side this week, but stayed away. I might end up on the over those here still. I think a 51, I don't know, is enough.
Yeah, if you're talking about a total, Dallas weirdly is one of the better teams for an over that there is out there, because Dak is the best hollow stats quarterback in the history of the NFL. You get down 17 points and Dak Prescott is about to throw for 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Like, it happens every single time. You saw last week. You fantasy players know, because you were going up against CeeDee Lamb, you got crushed in garbage. It meant absolutely nothing, but CeeDee Lamb just goes out, gets a billion yards and a couple of touchdowns. You have the 25th rated pass defense EPA per play in Dallas going up against the 24th rated pass defense EPA per play with the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, you can get at both of these teams through the air. And if you look, I know this Dallas team, this Dallas team has not been great on the offensive side, but Dak Prescott's not going to have to worry about being under pressure. This Atlanta team, 30th in the NFL in pressure rate.
So bad.
Kelly, they cannot get to the quarterback, and they don't blitz that much either. They just blitz at the 20th highest rate in the NFL. So I think Dak has a comfortable time back there, and I think CeeDee Lamb probably has another big day.
I don't think you could bet against that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of the most impressive things in the NFL to me. When this Cowboys team is this limited, and you know CeeDee Lamb's always the biggest threat, but then at times this year has basically been the only threat, and they still he racks up double-digit catches. It's crazy. No,
every single – seriously, like just all the time, this is what goes on with this team. So I love betting this team over. I think that's the only way that you can look to bet them. Dolphins and the Bills, just talk about this game a little bit. With Paul Carr, said he kind of leans toward taking the points with the Dolphins up there at the Bills. We talked about the scariest team to bet against on the face of the planet. And I said yesterday that it was the Bills to me because of what Josh Allen brings to the table. Now, Amari Cooper is a bit banged up right now. We'll find out his game status a little bit later this morning, Kelly. That does at least give me a tiny bit of pause in wanting to do anything with the Bills here in this one, and specifically maybe even with the total. I understand that there was an emergence of Keon Coleman and certainly Dalton Kincaid. But I'm probably going to sit this one out. I'm curious as to what this Dolphins team looks like in week two with Tua back. And so with that, it gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, I played them in contest last week, the Dolphins side, thinking we were going to see a much better team with Tua. I think we're still getting there. I think we're going to see a better version still of this Dolphins team than what we've seen for the majority of the season with Tua out. I don't think what we saw last week is a good representation of what we're going to see with this team long term and to finish the season. I do expect them to be better this week. We talked about this a bit on Monday. I'm just going to stand by what I said on Monday. If this gets up to 7, I'm in on Miami. It really hasn't moved around that 6 too much this week. Anything less than that, I got no interest in this one.
One thing I guess we can say, outside of just not getting really any pressure on the quarterback, that being said, Von Miller back out there for this Buffalo team after serving his suspension, you have one of the most well-rounded teams in all of the NFL. Like, if you want to go to, let's say your stat of choice, your advanced stat of choice is DVOA. Well, overall, the 5th overall team DVOA, 2nd offense DVOA, 7th defense DVOA. If you want to go to EPA, it is the 3rd offense EPA. It is the 7th defense EPA, and net EPA, it is the number 1 overall team in the NFL. And then you go, they are no lower than 12th, which is just their pass defense success rate that has been given up in any advanced statistical category on either side of the ball, Kelly. I mean, like that. So this Bills team so far through the first half of the season has been by far the most well-rounded team there is, because they're getting it done on both sides, not just the offense, but the defense as well.
Yeah, it's been really impressive. I don't know if I was expecting their defense to be as good through injuries, right? It's been a lot of injuries this year, even before the season, through the season, that they've had to adjust to. Team's been very good. And when you have Josh Allen, to going back to your reason why you have him as the scariest team to bet against, it's just he's one of the highest upside players in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. We are looking Raiders and Bengals here. Raiders go to Cincinnati, a 7 to 7.5 point underdog. So we have actually gotten on the other side of 7 at a couple places now here in this one. 46.5. People are not worried about the T. Higgins thing, apparently, here in this one. I actually am. If you want to bet on the Cincinnati Bengals this year, you're betting on the offense, and that's the reason that you would back this team. And T. Higgins is a massive part of this offense. Look no further than last week, when they weren't really able to continue that success in the second half that they had in the first half, because the team goes, oh, okay, well, I'm not just going to let Ja'Marr Chase go for a billion yards in this game, so we'll take him out and see what you can do with all the rest of the team. And I understand Vegas has given you no reason to love them at all, Kelly, but I think this to me is a little scary at the field goal. I mean, at the touchdown, and certainly on the other side of a touchdown.
Okay. Higgins is big. I'm not going to say that's not big. I think this Raiders team is such a disaster, though, right now. This is a Bengals side that it was on the other side of 7, kind of came back to 7 yesterday when it was more, I think, the Higgins report coming out of him missing practice again. I think there was a little bit more Raiders money involved, kind of hit flat 7s. There's a lot of 7s out there still right now, but there's some 7.5s that have begun to pop. I might lay it at 7, probably play it as a contest play for me for Cincinnati, too. I know Cincinnati's burned a lot of us at different points. portions this year, but you take away that Patriots loss in week one. I mean, you look at the schedule, fine, they lost against the Chiefs, they lost in overtime against the Panthers, all these other games, though, they lost against the Commanders, which at the time we thought might have been a bad loss, doesn't look nearly as bad now. These easier opponents, though, they've taken care of. You've got the Raiders coming into your building. I think this is a Bengals win. I think it's a Bengals win by margin.
Joe Burrow, the number one quarterback in the NFL, adjusted EPA per play. You go in, every single thing, you adjust for anything. You adjust for drops, you adjust for opponent, you adjust for, he is still number one overall in the NFL. One other quick note, Jacoby Myers is at least rumored to be maybe on the trade block out there. And with that, that gives me a little bit of pause too, backing the Raiders, because what if they ship him out of town or limit his snaps? Just something to think about if you want to back them. Chris Felica when we come back.